Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it's been an interesting week. We had a celebration of life here on Friday for one of our older members who was, we're trying to figure out, Rose had to be 94, probably, okay, but had not been here since I've been here, and it was very interesting, you know, sharing that, but I wish I'd gotten to know her. My friends, we got two areas we're going to look at this morning, okay? The first one is, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief, and I think that means a lot for all of us, because we always have doubts. And the other thing I think is help me curb my tongue. You know, I really think those two areas are related. Well, because from the impulse and reactions of the flesh, sometimes we lose control of our tongue. So it comes from the flesh, not from the Spirit of God. And I think it boils back, what does it mean to believe? Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Oxford Dictionary, to believe. It's a verb. It's to accept something as true and feel sure of the truth of it. Okay, the superintendent believed Lancaster's story. To believe, feel sure. We're talking about emotions. It's not to know it as true, but it's to feel sure it is as true. See the difference? Okay, synonyms, be convinced by, trust, have confidence in, and consider honest. All right, another meaning, accept the statement of someone as true. Again, does it say it is truth? No. Have faith, especially religious faith. I love the example. There are those on the fringes of the church who do not really believe. Boy, if that's not true. Okay, here's the synonyms: devout, pious, reverent, believing, godly, God-fearing, dutiful, saintly, holy, prayerfully, church-going, practicing, faithful, devoted, and committed. I find that very interesting, especially the words that, you know, are related to it. So if you notice, to believe is to hold an opinion on something, okay? Or to express what you think. So to believe is not based on facts, but on feelings. Interesting, isn't it? And I got to thinking this morning, how do I explain this? All right, so like two friends that are arguing. I think you're an idiot. You're wrong, said the first man. Second man and said, well, I think you're wrong. You're an idiot too. First man says, all right, let's go get a beer. We're in agreement. Well, haven't you done that with friends sometimes? You know, you agree to disagree. And you got to remember they're friends, you know. Now, here's another one I thought of this morning. I thought it would be interesting. Could be between a husband and wife. But I don't think the end of that argument would be going to get a beer, okay? No, probably would be more likely that the couch might end up as a bed for the husband that night. My friends, why does that happen to us? Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. In my sermon on Friday, I talked about, you know, we believe in eternal life, but there's not a one of us that has not had doubts. I mean, let's face it, we're human beings, and we're not sure, because eternal life is an opinion, right? Interesting way of looking at it, okay? Is it accurate to say that? Probably not. I'll go and get into that in one minute. Let's get into our gospel lesson and understand why this is the case. And I think this is interesting. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And Jesus asked them, what are you arguing about with them? And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." Now here's where I find it gets interesting. "And he answered them, 'Oh, faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me.'" Who's he talking to? The apostles. Because the apostles were supposed to get rid of the spirit, weren't they? So what did Jesus say to apostles? "Oh, faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." Every time I see a movie about the apostles, I see all these guys that are standing strong, you know, and serious. You know, it's almost like seeing Jesus. Hey, folks, they put on their pants the same way we do. Okay? Acts 15 in the Bible. You got to remember, Paul and Barnabas and Peter were in Galatia, western Turkey. And James was the head of the church in Jerusalem, was sending out these missionaries that were teaching that you had to be a Jew to be a Christian. Okay? Paul calls them the opponents, the false prophets. I mean, he's not happy about them. And so Paul's had it, decides they're going to go back to Jerusalem. As the crow flies between the Galatia and Jerusalem is 1,000 miles. How ticked off do you have to be to walk 1,000 miles? Think about that for a second. So he gets to Jerusalem. And what he does is he gets all the apostles together and says, "Wait a second, we're wrong on this. James, you can't send out people this way." How do we know this? It's Acts 15 in the Bible. It's the record of that first council of the church. Peter stands up and says, "I was wrong. You don't have to be a Jew." All right, now stop and think about this. I believe, help me with my unbelief. Did Peter lose his belief for a while? Yes. And then he witnessed to what he believed. If this can happen to the apostles, can it happen to us? Of course. Folks, we're all human. You know, and what I preached to you before, if you can do the right 51% of the time, you're doing pretty well. We're not perfect. But we try our hardest. And the thing is, they couldn't clean this boy with an unclean spirit. That I find really interesting. Because what does he say to them? "You can't do it without prayer." Did the disciples make other mistakes? Garden of Gethsemane, what did Jesus ask the apostles to do? "Stay awake and stay with me." So what's the first thing they do? They go to sleep. Jesus comes out and he's a little upset with him, with them. Okay? I mean, Jesus had just asked the Father, "Can we not let this cup that I have to drink from it, can we let this cup pass from me?" And he comes back, and the apostles couldn't remain awake with him for a small amount of time. So the apostles do this because they're human beings and broken people. Are we human beings and broken people? Well, I think so too. How many of you lose control of your tongues? Okay, let's all raise our hands. Okay? My dad used to quote Abraham Lincoln because it, you know, "It is better to remain silent, appear wise, and open one's mouth and remove all doubts." And it's actually in the book of Proverbs. You know, so he was quoting the Bible. But isn't that true, though? Because once you open your mouth, it's out there for everybody to hear. And then you got to ask for forgiveness, don't you? Unless you're going to be real stubborn or not. And then the house is real cold for a while, you know? Folks, I really think all this is talking about the difference between a viewpoint that goes from I, me, to we, us. Now think about that for a second. I, me. Is everything centered around me? Have you met people like that? Okay. So the thing is, anybody that's centered on I, me is going to have problems. So our goal is to be we, us. How many of you ever thought of that before? See, there's stuff there I think that is important. So when I say, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief, is that person just talking for him or talking for all of us? So I think that's a we us statement, even though it's crouched in I, okay? Because he's speaking for all of us. But yet we know with forgiveness, all we have to do is ask, don't we? Well, when we talk about belief, now I'm going to get into what I was talking about earlier, about are we sure about eternal life? Because belief, according to what we learned today, is an opinion, right? So is eternal life an opinion, or is it a truth? It's a truth. Why? Where? In Scripture. You know, I go back, what's the first song we learned? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, that's the first lesson we learn as Christians. Is it true? Sure it is. Sure it is. When Jesus went to that cross, did he go for the I, me, or the we, us? The we, us, okay? He gave himself for us, so that we too might have everlasting life with him in heaven. And I really think that's the crux of our scripture today. When we look at, you know, belief in this is not an opinion. Belief in this is the truth. Does that mean we have doubts? I mean, when's the last time you shook hands with somebody, been on the other side, and came back? But people have done that, haven't they? And they've brought stories back from their time on the other side. I've talked to you about Ray Moody before, who is an emergency room doctor. And he documented all these afterlife, you know, near-death experiences. And the guy became a great Christian, a great believer, based on what these people told him. Is the Bible true? Yes. I got to share this with you because it really bothered me. I was watching a show on History Channel, and the guy was looking at old ruins and things like that. And he says, I investigate these old ruins, but I don't like to do it with Christians and religious people. Okay, why? Well, because they, what's the word? They believe in supernatural things, not truth. And I'm sitting here looking at this, or listening to this, and I thought, okay, why do I need to hear that? Why, when we're looking at something that was there as an ancient Christian place, is he talking of that it's just supernatural things, it's not real? You know, one of the biggest churches in the world is Hagia Sophia in Constantinople. Well, Istanbul now. By the way, you know what Istanbul stands for? It's Turkish, to the city. That's what Istanbul means, to the city. Huh? To the city. Constantinople, to me it's still Constantinople. To the city. Yeah. That's what Istanbul actually means in Turkish. It's one of those things you pick up when you're doing this. So, faith that we get from God, is it a belief or an opinion? Okay, and you're right, but where does faith come from? It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. All right, so thinking about that, is it a belief or is it a truth? Who's it come from? It's a truth, isn't it? You know, this is the kind of stuff, as I was doing this, folks, I spent a lot of time on thinking about this one because as more and more I got into this, I thought, you know, what is it? Do we believe or not believe? Is it an opinion or is it truth? And I think according to Scripture, it's truth. So when he says, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief, he's asking to be shared a truth with him. So that small doubt voice that is trying to make us doubt, folks, we know our Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. Easter hymn, prettiest, one of the prettiest ones out there. Is it an opinion or is it a truth? It is a truth. We know he will grant us eternal life with him in heaven. This is most certainly true. And the people of God respond with, amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah and amen.